Naturecast.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
On this episode of Missing the Point, it's our Cheap Heat WrestleMania 37 preview show. We'll preview this year's card, give our predictions, look back at almost four decades of WrestleManias with our favorite matches, performers, and moments.
This is Missing.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Missing the Point proudly presents to you the most entertaining and informative wrestling podcast out there, and that is not a prediction, it is a spoiler, and this is Cheap Heat. Welcome everyone to another edition of Cheap Heat. I am your host, Michael Marcangelo, and today we are talking about WrestleMania, and I cannot do that without Rayshon Buchanan and Craig D'Alessandro. Gentlemen, it's WrestleMania season. It's the granddaddy of them all. How are we feeling about this year?
Fine.
I'm fine, but I'm also mad that I'm not going to be there in person. You know, I was telling you guys off the air before we started, you know, I went to WrestleMania 33, 34, and 35. Obviously, last year, because of COVID, couldn't go. So I was hoping to go this year, but, you know, had some injuries and some other stuff happened to me, so I couldn't be there. But either way, like I said, like you said, the granddaddy of them all, I'm excited. So let's get into it.
Craig, you didn't sound too excited.
I'm excited that we're starting to get a little bit back to normalcy of our big wrestling things. WrestleMania is outside this year. Of course, it's supposed to be at the stadium as it was last year. But, of course, being what it was last year, was that hell of the Performance Center. But not too excited over the card. Just not.
That's what they call a big market segue. So we're going to do now is we're going to talk about the card. It's a two-night event, so we're going to go down night one.
Which, by the way,
yes,
love it.
Me too.
Love that.
Oh, you love that as two nights?
I can't remember. What was it? 2 or 3 years ago, sitting through a 16-match card for 4 hours.
That was WrestleMania 32. Remember, it was 7 hours.
That was a marathon.
Yeah, and there was so many moments though. But obviously, like, we'll get into that. But oh my gosh, Michaels, Austin, yeah. Foley, yeah. Rock coming back, Cena. It was crazy. So can't wait.
So Craig's not too excited. I think some of the positives here is that two nights gives you the chance to have as many superstars as you possibly can, as many wrestlers, have time, not be rushed. I think for me, one of the worst things that you see is a 6-minute Mania match that should have been 15. And so night one, we're starting with the Raw Tag Team Championship match. It's the New Day versus AJ Styles and
Amos.
Edit that, Craig. Amos. This will be Amos's debut. It's the first event that we have in front of fans in over 13 months. Again, normally what we do here is we talk about what we think is going to happen and then what should happen. I think AJ Styles should win and Amos should win. I think what will happen is the New Day is going to retain. Gentlemen, Craig, how do you feel about this match?
This is being portrayed or billed as Amos's first real match. You know, we've seen him for a while now on WWE television, going back to the beginning of Raw Underground, where he was a bouncer outside of Raw Underground. So he's been there. We've seen Amos for a while. It's just been recently that now he's been paired with AJ Styles, and now he's just been his bodyguard. Now all of a sudden they're thrown together this match for the first night of WrestleMania. And, you know, based on what I've seen out of him, he is a physically imposing man who is surprisingly quickly athletic, which I've seen before in WWE, been tremendously disappointed. But I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad about this one as I do with some of the other matches.
Who wins?
I think New Day retains, but you see a lot out of AJ Styles and Omos.
Rayshon.
So I this is actually one of the matches I was actually excited for. I mean, I love the New Day. Like, I mean, hell, I got my hair looking like Kofi Kingston just without the just without the blonde color. Love him and Xavier Woods together. But I'm excited to see what Omos does though, right? Like obviously we've seen him, you know, play the bodyguard role and you know, he's, you know, squishing heads outside the ring like the great Khali back in the day, like he did to Rey Mysterio, which was crazy. And I think he's gonna surprise some people on Saturday night. And you know, I'm excited to see him. I actually think that they win the title. They find a way to win it. It's going to be something where, you know, some small drivers outside the ring, referee gets knocked out or whatever, and then Omos starts just throwing everybody all over the place. And then, you know, he couldn't be paired with anyone better than really is maybe outside of Randy Orton, the best in-ring talent we have in the WWE, maybe in all of wrestling, to be honest. You know, so I just think that it's going to be awesome to see. And I'm excited to see what those guys do as a team. Like I said, we know what the New Day are. Like the New Day, they sell merch. They're great workers as well. So this is not taken away from them. But, you know, they're the 11-time, you know, World Tag Team Champions. So it's like, yeah. we've seen this. So I think, you know, hey, they're the draw. But let's see AJ Styles and Omos get that win and see what they can do as a tag team going forward.
I think this is the closest thing to the Shawn Michaels Diesel tandem that we saw back in 93, 94. Since then, right? I think they're going to protect. They're going to make sure AJ Styles is probably the most similar to Shawn that there has been since Shawn in the WWE. And I think Omos is going to be well protected in this match. And we're only going to see the things that he can do well, like we did with Ronda Rousey back at WrestleMania. Was at 34 with Kurt. They showcased what she could do. I think that this is going to be something along those lines as well. The next match, I think that this has the early ability to steal the show. Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. If there was ever a time for Cesaro to have a good one-on-one WrestleMania match, it's against Seth Rollins. And now what they've been doing, they've been building Cesaro up. He doesn't just look like this pissant that's going to lose to Rollins. He might lose, but I don't think he's going to be hurt if he does. I cannot wait to see this match. I love the buildup. I love the swing in the backstage area. That was awesome. So I hope Cesaro wins, but I won't be mad if Rollins wins. Rayshon.
I want some respect. Give me my respect. And like I said, I love Seth Rollins, but it should be Cesaro's time. It's a swing time. So like you said, the build has been great. I love seeing they propped up Cesaro. Probably really just the first time since he was under Jack Swagger with the Real American gimmick when he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal back in 2014 at WrestleMania 30. You know, that's when I felt like he was kind of like at his height. And obviously, you know, he had a great time with the bar with him and Sheamus, but just as a singles guy, I feel like at that time he was really at his peak, but now he was starting to get back to that. So, and, you know, it goes back to what he talked about on Talk of Smack. You know, he talked about getting opportunities. Well, it's here now, Cesaro. So the Cesaro section is going to be there live in effect in Tampa. You better bring it. So you better swing, knock it out the park, whatever you need to do. But I'm excited to see that match. You know, we know Seth, you know, for no pun intended, Seth and him should burn it down. They're going to. They're going to burn the house down on Saturday. And that probably will be the match of the night for night one.
Who wins?
I think Cesaro wins. I got Cesaro.
Craig.
This has the potential, definitely, like you said, to be the best wrestling match on this card, and it's probably out of all of these probably the least hyped out of all of them. And I feel you know, sometimes that's a good thing, because it's a match that's come together, you know, rather quickly, but it's a match that just has so much potential. I'm not sure if anyone watched TakeOver last night of NXT, but a match that came together really quickly, Tommaso Ciampa and Walter
blew off,
and it wasn't near the main event card. And you know, I think that this is going to be there's always a match where it doesn't matter where it is, that it could be early or right in the middle. It's a match when you're leaving the arena or you turn off the television that you still talk about. I think that this one has the potential to be one, because either Seth Rollins and Cesaro. Cesaro is the best in-ring performer in the company right now, in my personal opinion.
Wow.
It's
okay. That's high praise.
He's an amazing athlete, and I just
yes.
I think for sure. I think this match has the potential to just blow the roof off.
Kind of feels like it could be, you know, a match that we're going to talk about later is the Savage Steamboat, right? Hogan and Andre talked those people into the building, and that match is what people talk about now. Obviously, the moment where Hogan slams Andre, great. We'll talk about that too. But this match between Rollins and Cesaro has everything that you need, all the ingredients necessary to be the match that 15 years from now we're talking about. You just didn't expect it, but man, are you glad you were there for it.
Right, exactly. And sorry, just a quick aside, because Craig brought it up. So, and I think I sent this to you earlier, Mike. Shout out to Raquel Gonzalez for winning the Women's NXT Championship. I saw her in Dusty Rhodes Classic, and I was like, why is she not on the main roster? This girl's a beast. And clearly Triple H saw what I saw. Now they put the title on her. So go ahead, Raquel. You're not next. You are right now. So kill that shit. You are awesome. So I had to say that. She's great.
It's awesome. Next match. Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman in the steel cage match. Okay, the build to this is that Braun Strowman is a big dumb guy, and Shane's a rich smart guy. Great, right? Like it's nothing that I truly care about. I think I can speak for all of us when the part of this match that we care about is what is Shane going to jump off the top of the cage through the table on the outside, or like what the hell is he going to fall off of to sell it? Because for me, again, that's my catchphrase. This match doesn't do anything for me. I actually hope Shane wins. I'm over Braun Strowman. I'm not. Last year when that Goldberg match, sorry man, like he can't.
He was thrown into that though.
Sure. But
he was. I'm saying he was. Roman was like, I'm not coming in. So they was like, okay, Braun, come back. Bring your ass back down here to Tampa to tape. I mean, that's to Tampa. So to the PC, yeah, to Orlando, to the PC. And they threw him in there and he won. I mean, he did what he could in that moment. Just
I can tell you that there's only been one Braun Strowman match that I've actually liked. And I couldn't believe that I did. And it was him versus Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire. Is that right back in?
Yeah, in 2017.
And because it was really, I mean, Lesnar can take a hit. He can't hit Shane that way. So, I hope Shane wins. I know Braun's going to win. Craig, your thoughts on this match? And before you say you hate it and it sucks.
I already have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this match to me has just been thrown out of nowhere. You know, it's the classic bully versus, you know, trying to, you know, I want to say little guy, but Braun Strowman's enormous.
Well, they're painting him to be mentally little.
Yeah, they're painting him to be stupid and be bullied and be like trying to overcome the bullies. So this feels like the match that's like targeted for like 5-year-olds.
Yeah, people, I mean,
they've been targeting Nickelodeon kids with this anyway. The slam.
I mean, Ray was there. Ray probably was just cheering his ass off when Strowman picked some 7-year-old out of the crowd to be a tag team champion with in New Orleans, right?
I was actually pissed. I mean, yeah. So hey, shout out Nicholas. You know, you're a one time tag team champion. That was great. But people were wondering what was going on because he was running around, and I mean, I was up top, so obviously he wasn't picking anyone from where we were sitting. But it was just like, I was expecting someone to come, like, you know, wrestler make a return and come back and be a champion.
Oh, yeah, they were building that for weeks.
I'm like, you go pick some, you know, some little brat out the crowd to win the championship. Like, and my thing is, what would have made that cooler? Let him pin him. Let him pin. You slam him. Let him come pin. He'll never forget that. That's what you do. Don't sit there. Let him stand there behind the ring and there. Roar! Like, don't do that. But, you know, yeah, I do feel this is a very tired story. I do think it can be an okay match, mainly because of what Shane McMahon's going to do. Yeah. Shane McMahon's an underrated performer, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I'll argue that with anybody. But this also reminds me of what happened back at WrestleMania 34. With the story between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, right?
Oh, so, God, yeah.
With my girl Mickey James, you know, making all their fun and talking all the trash.
Oh, Lake Cool,
you know, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, you know, next thing you know, Nia is being put in that spot of like, okay, like everyone, I mean, and that crowd, as much as people loved Alexa Bliss, they was ready for Nia to beat her ass. And he did, and she won the championship that night. So that's what's going to happen. It's kind of weird making Braun, someone that as big as Braun, to be the face, so to speak. But I mean, here we are in a few days. He'll be the face coming into that match. And yeah, you know, he'll hit him with a slam, you know, hopefully 2 or 3. And yeah, I think Braun gets it done on Saturday night.
I think it's dangerous because in those situations, Alexa was, like in the situation you just painted out there, Alexa by far is the better in-ring performer, right? But Nia can hold her own on the microphone, and and aside from when she's irreparably damaging Becky Lynch's face, she's okay in the ring. Braun, he's fine in the ring, but people, their first live, their first WWE event in over a year, if Shane is getting his ass whooped and then jumps off the top of the cage, they're going to cheer for him. You can't hate him when he's in the ring because you understand the things that he's doing to his body. So I think they're going to, that's going to be an interesting mix. This next match, you know, it wouldn't be WrestleMania without celebrity interference. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, who I really like, versus The Miz and Morrison.
Hate it. Sorry.
I just want to say right now, I think I was happy that The Miz won the title, whether it was for a week or whatever. He deserves it. He has just been a stallion for this company for so long. John Morrison's a great worker. I think Damian Priest has all of the things that you want to be a main event. I think Bad Bunny's going to surprise you.
Yeah.
They're only going to do things that make him look good, but maybe you'd rather have someone else that's been training their entire life as a professional wrestler on this card to get that payday. But I think Bad Bunny and Damian Priest win. I think Bad Bunny and John Morrison actually have probably the most interactions in this match. Maybe Bunny will knock out The Miz again and legit punch him in the face again. But I think you should prepare yourself to come out of this match and say, wow, Mr. Bunny actually trained. So that's my pick. Go ahead, Craig.
Hasn't he been training for this match for a while?
That's what I've been hearing, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, too. I've and they've done a really good job of this. They're continuing a trend where they're trying to bring in a really big, popular at the moment celebrity that they've been doing for a while, like they did with Snooki a million years ago. And, you know, Snooki didn't look bad in that match either. I understand the politics behind that match is terrible.
Yeah.
But this match, I love Damian Priest. I hate what they did to The Miz. He was a WWE champion, what, a month ago? And yep. John Morrison's done nothing since he's come back, but been Miz's little, you know, sidekick. And you know, John Morrison's probably one of the best performers, athletes in WWE that they've ever had. But I actually think this is going to be one of the more entertaining matches. You know, I don't feel bad about this one. This one I feel pretty good. I hate the way it was set up. You know, a month ago, The Miz was WWE champion, you know, beating Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
And now, you know, 2 weeks ago, he's in a bunny costume doing a music video. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. So like maybe Bad Bunny doesn't wow you like LT did against Bam Bam Bigelow. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be good. And your Snooki reference is spot on. That match wasn't a great match, but everyone remembers her cartwheels into the elbow when she was teaming with Trish. That's good. That's what you want to remember. Ray, you don't seem too happy about this match. Give it to us.
So, okay, I like Damian Priest, right? Like, I liked his showing at the Royal Rumble. He's done some good stuff at NXT, now with them being on Raw. He's awesome. Like I said, main event guy. Reminds me of a young Edge, kind of, right? So I'm cool with that. He's going to be a main event guy. I was actually cool with Lashley beating The Miz, so I know we'll talk about his match later on, but I was fine with that. I guess it just kind of told the story. But as far as John Morrison goes, that's on him. You knew coming back. You didn't have to come back to be The Miz's sidekick. You didn't have to do that. Like I said, he is a hell of a performer. Why come back just to be there? I get it. You want to be back with your best friend. But at some point, I would have been better off seeing the match between them two. You know, best of friends, turns on them. That would have been beautiful. Hell, yeah. Who knows? Maybe that happens on Saturday night. Maybe John Morrison costs them a match. Miz says, what are you doing? I'm the A-lister. He smacks him. We have a match for Backlash. Whatever. I don't know. That I'm just in my creative mind. That's where I think should happen. It could happen, but I know it probably won't. I mean, and I get it. I mean, maybe Bad Bunny maybe does a couple of slashes, you know, like a frog slash or whatever. And I guess that would be cool, but I'm like, come on. This honestly, and I hate to say this because I know a disrespect to The Miz and to Morrison and even to Damian Priest. This is a kickoff show match. This is a kickoff show. This is not something I want to see. Like, if I was there, I'd have been hot seat though. You're putting this in the actual card. Like, put this on the kickoff show. Nice little entertaining 5 to 10 minute match. Oh, Bad Bunny come down there. Oh, Viva La Raza, you know, jumping off the rope and call it a day. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see a 15-20 minute match for Bad Bunny on the card. But I mean, hey, either way, we're going to see it. And I hope Miz and Morrison win because I don't want to see Bad Bunny getting his hand raised at WrestleMania. To me, that'd be even more disrespectful.
I think, but isn't what you just said like, if it hadn't been for Bad Bunny, maybe these three guys are not on the card and they don't get a paycheck, right? So
which is also wild.
Yeah. So conversely, like maybe you want to see someone else get his spot, but had it not been for him, maybe they don't get that payday. So it's good.
Well, Miz would have. Morrison and Damian Priest may not have, but Miz would have for sure.
Yeah, for sure. The next match on Saturday night is the match that I have been waiting for. I've been talking about since our premiere episode for Survivor Series. It is the Legit Boss versus the EST of WWE, Bianca Belair, for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I honestly have an apology for this one.
Honestly, this should close the show the first night. I think that these two, first of all, I think Sasha Banks is the greatest in-ring performer as far as the female goes since Trish and Lita. I don't think she can be touched. She can sell. It's believable when she sells something. It's believable when she makes Bayley's number one fan cry and steals the sign at NXT TakeOver. And Bianca Belair, she might be just as good. She might be better in terms of raw athleticism. So I hope, my hope for this match is that they get 20 minutes. They go out there, they steal the show. I'm pulling for the Boss, but I think Bianca's going to win. Craig?
I owe you an apology for this one because we back at our Royal Rumble show, we did the who's going to win the
I told you.
Yeah, you told me. You said who's going to win the Women's Royal Rumble. I said Alexa Bliss. You said Bianca Belair. I thought it was too soon for her. She had just come up to the main roster, weeks before? And, you know, she came out, what was she, number two? Or she came out early.
She came out number two, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she just ran the gauntlet. And she just dominated. She is living up to all the hype that they had given her, and she deserves this spot right now. And I'm not particularly a fan of the way they built this matchup because it was the same thing every week. I'm the boss. I'm the best. I'm the boss. I'm the best over and over and over. But still, at the end of the day, we're all looking forward to a WrestleMania match. And I do believe that this is going to be the main event. I think they're going to politic this all the way to the main event spot, and it'll be Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, the main event of night one. I just don't see any way Bianca Belair loses.
Just because you said that, I think that this match is probably going to open the show, but continue.
Well, that's not a bad thing, though. That's not a bad thing.
Right, right.
If you're on a WrestleMania card, you want to either open the card or you want to close the card. Chris Jericho said that on a podcast recently. So, and he's dead right about that, too. But I still think this is the match that closes the night.
Ray?
Well, I'm all here for the baddest that suffers the best, the EST or WWE, Miss Bianca Belair. I am on the hype train. I co-signed with you, Mike. I said she was going to win it as well on that show that we did a couple months back. So I am excited for her. This is her time. This is her moment. And once again, Sasha Banks will be there. She'll be there. This is not going to ruin her career if she loses to Bianca Belair. You need new blood. Like, we've seen Sasha. We've seen Bayley. We've seen Charlotte. We've seen Becky Lynch, who, hey, Becky, I miss you. I hope that you come back the night after WrestleMania. I really do. That would be awesome. You know, she's definitely missed, but it's like you need some new blood in there. So I'm hoping that Bianca finds a way to win. I have her winning. And like I said, to me, they should get a 20-minute match. I don't know. It'd be great if there's no – I don't think there's any stipulations in it, right?
No, it's just a wrestling match.
Yeah, just right. Yeah, so, okay, cool. So, yeah, so, okay, perfect. So, they'll definitely sell the show, and they'll give them 20 minutes. Like, Sasha's basically delivered in every pay-per-view match she's been in. Now, she hasn't always retained. You know, we know how that goes. So
some would say never.
It's happened. It's happened.
Recently, yes.
But, yeah, but I'm like, no, I'm saying, but not – it doesn't happen often, obviously. You know, but I'm expecting kind of the – I feel like it's going to be a mix between – what we saw at TakeOver 2015 between her and Bayley, and then what we saw in 2016 between her and Charlotte at Hell in a Cell. It's going to be between a mix of that. So if I get 20% of that, bravo. But like I said, I'm here for the EST of WWE. Low key, not even low key, high key, got a crush on Bianca Belair. I'm a fan. She's a beast. So,
she's married, bro.
Yeah,
that's fine. Like I said, I got a crush. I didn't say I'm trying to date. I said, I got a crush. She looks good. And she's a hell of a performer. So I'm
and
a
fan. And she makes her own gear, too, which is awesome.
Exactly. Yep, I saw that. Yep.
And I think what you said, Craig, like maybe it's too soon. I think for 9 out of 10 people, you're right.
Yeah.
But she's infectious. Like you see her and her smile and her athleticism, right? Not in the negative way, Rayshon, but like her personality is infectious and you just want to like her. And there's just no way around it. So for all of us here at Cheap Heat, we want that to be the main event.
Yeah.
And we're telling you that even if it doesn't go on last, that they're going to put on the main event match, and they will. I think they're going to steal the show night one. They will be the thing you're talking about. And if they're not, it's because they weren't allowed to be. Fair?
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Agreed, yep.
Moving on to the final match of night one, the WWE Championship match, the almighty Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. If Bobby Lashley loses, I riot.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Where I'm at. Because that man has been waiting far too long to be the champion, to be the WWE champion. He was handed some BS ECW championship back when he was feuding with Vince in 2007 after Umaga. I get it. He wasn't, maybe they didn't think he was ready.
He wasn't ready then.
Yeah, sure. How about 2010 or 2009 when he had the Great American Bash match against John Cena, when he should have won that for the WWE championship? Whatever, I think the Hurt Business should not have been broken up. They should be together. That's been one of the hottest gimmicks in the entire company. But if they broke it up for Lashley to retain, I'm fine with it. I love Drew. He did a great thing the last year during probably the hardest time in the company. He's a believable champion. But there's no more of a believable badass heel champion than Bobby Lashley.
Absolutely, and Bobby Lashley deserves everything that he's gotten so far. He deserves to be WWE champion. I'm not taking anything away from him. He was handed some garbage storyline for the last year and a half. That thing with Lana and Rusev, and also, I should know who it is, but I'm forgetting it now. Liv Morgan as well. That should have been something great.
I did forget about that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's unfortunate because that storyline did have a lot of potential, but they just muffed it up so many different ways. He's been handed some bad storylines for a guy that just did not deserve it. And you covered it too, from the ECW days to that thing with Umaga versus Bobby Lashley with Donald Trump and Vince and the hair, and having to leave the company and just dominating wherever he went after that. And then also when he was doing it, he was in Bellator too, just dominating people there. And now, he's in his late 30s, early 40s. He's in the best shape of his life. Not that he's ever been out of shape. He deserves every bit of this. And, it's a bit unfortunate. I don't think Drew McIntyre should be in this match, but I think this should be a squash. Bobby Lashley just walk in that ring and tear Drew McIntyre apart.
I don't know about a squash, because I believe that for everything that Drew McIntyre has done over the last year, he deserves to have a main event match and hear the crowd cheering. But for me, again, you give Bobby Lashley a manager like MVP, a mouthpiece.
Yep.
He's unstoppable. And to steal one of Rayshon's phrases, which I love to do, I'm here for it. There's no reason that he should lose. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I'm torn with this match, because obviously I agree with every point you guys have made about, Lashley deserving to be here. And, like I alluded to, he wasn't ready back in the late 2000s. His most memorable moment obviously was the hair versus hair match. Was it hair versus hair? With him and it felt like a hair versus hair, but the billionaire match. Shaved his head or whatever. That's what I remember him for. I don't remember too many other matches that he had then. He had some great matches in another company, in TNA, but that wasn't in the main spotlight. But I wasn't a fan when Drew McIntyre came back a few years back. And also, I saw that match he had against Roman at WrestleMania 35, and I was like, he's okay, all right. But I got reinvested in him the 2020 Royal Rumble. And seeing him, Claymore kick Brock Lesnar, with the help of Ricochet, who's another guy they're seriously undervaluing, but I won't go in that soapbox tonight. I was like, clearly the crowd's behind him. He's ready. He's now ready for this moment. And the crowd would have erupted in Tampa that last year when he hit them with that 3 or 4 Claymore kicks. The crowd would have went nuts. So that's why and once again, the matches he had with Orton, he carried WWE in the year of the pandemic. He carried them. So he definitely deserves to be there. I don't know who else they would have had in that match.
Yeah.
Let's say they made it a triple threat or whatever, like they did with Edge, Reigns, and Daniel Bryan. But man, I'm excited to see this match. I'm torn, but I think Lashley deserves to have his moment. And I also get if they choose to put Drew over for him to have that moment in front of the crowd. I do, and maybe it continues a feud.
So it does win.
I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre. I think they're going to give him his moment that he missed last year. I think they're going to give it to him at that time.
Drew McIntyre is probably the co-MVP of whatever the hell we're going to call this last year, with where there were no crowds, basically. It's a tie between him and Asuka for, you know, whoever just, you know, power through all that. But still, part of me just thinks that this is not the match that Bobby Lashley wants. I know that for a fact. The match that Bobby Lashley wants, the match that everybody wants and everybody knows what that's going to be. And it's what I thought was going to happen 2 weeks ago. And it turns out it was Baron Corbin instead. It should be, and we all know, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
I think that happens at SummerSlam.
I hope so, man.
If they have fans, yeah, I think so. No,
they haven't fans for this. They'll have fans by August. They have fans.
Because after Mania, they're not having fans for – they're not touring or having fans for Raw or SmackDown for a while.
We'll say, but for the pay-per-view, though. I feel like for a pay-per-view, they'll do – I think for SummerSlam, by SummerSlam, depending on where we are as a country, I think that's a legit thing to have. And, yeah, like you said, everyone wants to see Brock versus Bobby. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
There are so many stories to tell in that match, right? Because that's a real fight that you want to see in Bellator, and it's a real match that you want to see in WWE.
I can book it for you right now. You know, him and Bobby Lashley are basically the same kind of person. There's only one difference between them, and they were booked completely differently.
Yep.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. True. True. Yep.
So that'll do it for night one. Night two kicks off Sunday night. United States Championship match: Riddle, Matt Riddle. I know that they love dropping first or last names. Yeah. Versus Sheamus. I love Sheamus. I actually love Matt Riddle. His character sucks.
Like the stoner gimmick?
No, bro. I love the bro thing. I love the sandals, I love the flip, whatever, right? But now they're having him forget lines on TV because I just truly believe Vince doesn't understand, like, that you can smoke marijuana and not be a forgetful stoner. Like, you know what I mean? And so this is their thing. Athletically, this should be a really hard-hitting match. Maybe it'll make me feel differently about it after, but I want Sheamus to win. I want Riddle to turn heel hard, fast, because I think that if you do that, if you give him like just a little bit of the straight-edge society that Punk had back in the day, he could be a badass heel that people actually hate. So I'm here for Sheamus winning and for Riddle, his career taking off.
I was going to say, how the hell do you turn Matt Riddle into a heel? I just can't imagine any, because, you know, let's be honest, his gimmick is just he's high all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of the straight edge society, but if you want to go that route, I could buy that.
And he's a legit badass, by the way. Like, he's a UFC fighter. Ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who wins this fight, Craig?
I think it's going to be Riddle. This is just, you know, Vince likes him. He's had a lot of backstage heat on him, though, for various different reasons. But I just think that the way it's going, you know, this Sheamus is at the point where he's just putting people over. I think this is just a stepping stone for Riddle, too.
He's having great matches, by the way. His match against McIntyre, was it Fastlane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a legit match. That is a main event of a WrestleMania, or of a SummerSlam, or of a Royal Rumble. So I think at 40-something years old, he's still putting in the work, and he's the best that he's ever been in WWE. Ray, so Riddle versus Sheamus. How amped up are you?
This is the other matchup I'm not hype about. This is the Bad Bunny matchup for night two, in my opinion. Honestly, if you could put Sheamus on the card, you should have put him in that triple threat. Put him in that triple threat. Lashley, McIntyre, and then Sheamus. I think that'd been cool to see, but excuse me, they chose not to.
Can't have two triple threats for the title.
Yeah, I mean, you do whatever you want to do, though. They had two nights, they got three nights, you can do whatever you want to do, right? But I just think, for me...
gimmick infringement.
Yeah, gimmick infringement, yeah. I mean, trust me, we do it all the time. I just think that this is also this is a kickoff show match. I'm not, like, this is not something, I could care less about seeing this for 15 minutes. This is a kickoff show match that made the card because you're splitting into two nights. So it's like, oh, let's give so-and-so a chance. Like, I mean, I get it. It's a title that has to be defended, but I'm like, Miz has won a championship on the kickoff show at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Actually, I think it was the same title. It was the United States Championship. He won a WrestleMania 29, which is an underrated show. I just watched that whole show. Yep. WrestleMania 29 was really good. It was my first time seeing it the whole way through, honestly. But, you know, we'll get to that later on. But, yeah, man, like, I'm not interested. But, I mean, I guess, I think just for the matches he's put in lately, give it to Sheamus. Damn the stepping stone.
Yeah.
He's the guy. Yeah. He's the guy. He's the horse. He's the guy that's been here. He's the guy that's been putting in that work the last few years.
I mean, think about the last year, dude. Like, his matches with Hardy, with Jeff Hardy, back in the Performance Center when the pandemic started. I mean, that their barroom match, which was, I mean, it was awesome. I think he's just been a guy that you did not expect to be in 2020 and now in 2021 to be putting on the matches that he is. And he's doing it. So reward him. Whatever you need to do, reward him. The next match, another celebrity. Hopefully he does not get the focal point of this match. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Now, here's why I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I love Sami Zayn. I love this whole conspiracy theory gimmick. Love it. But I have loved Kevin Owens since obviously his NXT days, but the minute he debuted and he won the United States Championship from John Cena, was it at Elimination Chamber one year when it was a one-off event?
Yeah.
Amazing. Right. And I don't know if you guys know this, for those people at home, you know, you're going to be listening to this on a Friday on your way to work or on your way home from work or whatever you're doing. If you're not driving, go peep the set for WrestleMania. They have a pirate ship built into the entrance. Last year, Kevin Owens is on the record saying he wants to jump off of it. So there's going to be a moment in this match that's going to make you say, holy shit, or oh my God, I hope Sami Zayn wins. I think he needs it more than Kevin Owens. But again, a match where I'm not going to be mad regardless of who wins, as long as Logan Paul doesn't steal the show.
Well, he's going to be involved in it somehow. Obviously, he's a celebrity for night two. I think it's going to be unfortunately, because I do not like him, he's going to be a very, you know, big focus. And he is a very athletically gifted person. Let's not forget that. But as far as the match goes, I could watch, you know, we were talking about this before we started. I could watch Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fight forever. They have never had a bad match, even before they came into WWE. The chemistry between them is just phenomenal.
Yeah, go back and watch any Kevin Steen, El Generico matches. Yep. And it's amazing. Ray, Craig, who's going
to
win?
I would like Kevin Owens to win. He hasn't won in a long time, but I think it's finally time for the conspiracy theorist to win one here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for this match. I mean, I know, like I said, you know, we kind of got a nice little glimpse of it at WrestleMania 32 and that ladder match for the IC title, which, you know, bring that back too, because that was also awesome. Shout out to Zack Ryder. You know it, bro. But it was, I'm excited for this match. They can steal the show at night too.
Yeah.
Honestly, they can steal the show. Kevin Owens never disappoints me. Never. I can't think of a bad match he's been a part of. Same thing with Sami Zayn, but I mean, I've drawn more to Kevin Owens. I just feel like he's... one, because I, you know, he looks more like me, and then he talks a lot of trash.
Stand Ray Sean,
you know, that I gravitate to guys that are bigger. So,
oh, I can take that out of context.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll get you some.
God. Exactly. Right here on Cheap Heat. No,
right.
No, but yeah, I'm excited for this match, man. I think that Kevin Owens, you know, he put over Seth Rollins last year. You know, that was a good match last year. And I think Kevin Owens gets it done.
Kevin Owens won last year.
Oh yeah, I thought Seth Rollins won.
That really catapulted Rollins into the Messiah gimmick, like really catapulted him.
Oh, which was so awful. Oh God, that was so bad.
So moving on to a match that
so terrible.
Of two people that absolutely deserve to be on the card. It's about time that they're gonna be focused on. It's Big E versus Apollo Crews. And Woo! I tell you what, like athletically, they have the ability to steal the show. There's a lot of those matches on this card, Craig. I know that you said that this card sucks and you're going to take a big humping you know what all over it, but it's actually a pretty good card with a lot of talent. Apollo Crews' new gimmick. At first, I thought probably what everyone thought, like,
come on, Vince.
Like, Vince, like,
what are you doing?
It's not a great look in 2021 to be doing what you're doing with an African American. You know what I mean? But however, it works for Apollo. He sounds great. He looks great. He's taken seriously. He's not just this, you know, this run of the mill high flyer that's just happy to be here. So I love Big E. I think he's going to be a WWE champion someday. I'm here for Apollo Crews winning this match, and I want him to win it decisively. I don't want there to be any doubt. I want it to be a clean 1-2-3. Go ahead, Ray.
you wanted this. You made me get biblical, Cruz. You made me. This is the best version of Big E since the five count. Like, shout out to that. Oh my God. Like, yep. Before he was Ziggler, and he said, like, listen, man, this is the best version of Big E we have seen. He is serious. He is focused. He is locked in. Like, I'm sorry. I'm Apollo Cruz. You're cool, bro. Like, like the new gimmick. Listen, man, I hope Big E goes off and finds a way to get it done. Like, let him retain this. Like, Big E needs to go on a serious run as a singles guy.
Yeah,
this time. I'm sorry, Apollo Cruz. Listen, you can just hear my guy. It's great. You know, my guy Wale, my twin. Wale is going to come out and perform Big E's song. You can't be stopped. He can't be stopped. It's going down. Big E, listen, man, I can't even talk. I'm sorry, but this might be my favorite match of the night. It just might be because, like I said, Big E is at the top of his game.
And he can go.
He can definitely go. And like I said, the promo, like I said, you made me do this. You made me get biblical. You wanted this. You wanted this ass whooping. And that's right, Apollo Crews. Sunday, you wanted this ass whooping. You wanted it. You want some? Come get some. Over.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if Vince watches Talking Smack, man, because months ago, The Miz and Big E were on there, and The Miz said, I just want you to be more serious. I want you to be taken seriously and less of the joking around. And now what you've seen is a serious Big E, and it works. Craig, what are your thoughts on this match, and who do you want to win?
You know, for the longest time, I never really thought Big E would turn into anything. You know, I remember when he was good and whatever. I think it was still FCW at the time. But then he got brought out with Dolph Ziggler and
AJ Lee.
And he was just, you know, basically big guy enforcer. And I thought that's what he would be for the biggest time. And then, you know, they did that thing with the New Day, which I thought was going to be a complete disaster when that started, in 2013, 2014? Turns out I was 100% wrong on that one.
You're all wrong.
And we were, I remember that. I remember those vintages, and I was like, oh, that's saying.
Well, actually, Vince is wrong. You guys are going to be preachers, and everyone hated it. And then it just turned into something, but go ahead.
And I think we all knew eventually it was time for someone that was going to drift away from the New Day. When Kofi Kingston was WWE champion, loved that whole thing with him. You know, sorry, Ali, but that just happens. Eventually, someone was going to break away from the New Day, and I think we all kind of knew in our hearts it was going to be Big E.
Yeah.
I was worried how he was going to do on his own. But then this feud happened, and it's just the best Big E I have ever seen him do. This promos have just been phenomenal. His in-ring work has just been so good. And he's still Big E. He's still funny.
Yeah.
He's still that same personality. He's still got that same personality.
He's got that switch that he can flip.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Who wins? So who wins?
I think this is the first of a series of matches between these two, and I think Big E retains it, and maybe Apollo down the line takes it. But as far as WrestleMania goes, I think Big E takes it.
It's tough for a heel to chase a face, right? So I want to see as many of these matches as possible because I think these two finally are being showcased and they deserve it. Next match we have The Fiend Bray Wyatt. The returning burned alive Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Now, hopefully Randy Orton doesn't get straddled by Alexa Bliss again so he doesn't have any problems at home with the wife. But for me, I think that this match is going to be tough.
That's not a bad thing, but continue.
Yeah, the easy DDP. That's a good thing. But
bang!
I think Randy Orton is the most gifted worker in the business over the last 20 years, right? Or from the last 20 years, right? So he started in 2000 through now. I think everything that he does in the ring, he makes look easy. And his psychology is way better now than it used to be. My fear is these two don't mesh well. Like we've seen it, right? Like the Firefly, whatever match that he burnt the house down, it was terrible. And their WrestleMania match was not great either. Maybe I'm wrong. I think Bray Wyatt's going to win. I think he needs to win this match because if he comes back from being burnt alive and loses, then how do you take that character seriously moving forward? It's intriguing. It could be horrifying to watch for, from a wrestling standpoint, though. But I'm going to take The Fiend, right?
I'm speechless because I'm just like I said, we saw this at WrestleMania 33. It doesn't work. Like, people were going to the bathroom. I went to go get my nachos and hot dogs during this match. It was terrible. Like, it's a joke. It's a joke. Like, I even went by and walked and met Queen Charmel. Hey, Queen Charmel, how you doing? Like, I met her. Like, I'm like, this is not going to be a good match. Like, and we know Alexa Bliss somehow, somebody's going to get involved. You know, hopefully not to the point that you just said about getting shot. That's wild, you know, because that's a whole different, that's a whole nother, you know, let him in. No, do not let him in. Don't let him in, Alexa.
That's
no.
Real heat. That ain't cheap.
That's real heat. Right, exactly. So, yeah, sorry, Kim. We love you. But no, man, like, I'm not excited for this match at all. Like, I mean, I like the Fiend character. I was more excited what they did last year with him and John Cena. That was actually awesome. I think it actually surprised people. I think they were like, oh, it's a cinematic match. What are we going to do with this or whatever? But I was at that SmackDown that he came on the challenge. I just moved back to Boston at that time. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to Tampa. Gonna see Bray and John. Nope. Thanks, COVID. But I'm not excited for this match. But I mean, since for content, because we can't have enough of that, we have to pick a winner. I'm gonna go with my guy Randy Orton.
Oh God, that can't happen. That's a character killing.
I don't. Okay. Hey, oh well. I'm RKO baby. I'm out of nowhere. I want to see him. I want to see like a WrestleMania 31 type of RKO. You know, maybe out of the Sister Abigail holds him up, flips him. One. Two, three. I hear voices in my head. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear let him in.
Craig.
Edge, Christian, Ric Flair, The Big Show, Shawn Michaels. These are all people that were involved in probably one of the most exciting storylines in the entire pandemic era of WWE. It was the return of the Legend Killer. Where yep. Randy Orton was put on top of the mountain like he rightly deserves to be. So SummerSlam, he loses to Drew McIntyre after he just won the
WWE Championship
at Hell in a Cell to Drew McIntyre. He loses it immediately, and immediately for the next 6 months is thrown into a feud with Bray Wyatt. This is just like malpracticing against one of your top performers of all time. It's so bad. He had two phenomenal matches against Edge. He had this great feud where he became the Legend Killer, the best wrestler on the planet. They had a match to determine that. And now it's Fiend for 6 months and Fiend again. And he's probably going to lose in a squash match to the Fiend because that's the only way he can sell the Fiend. The Fiend is just supposed to be just someone who comes in and destroys somebody. That's it. You want a wrestling match? Bring it out Firefly Bray Wyatt. He can wrestle a match. The Fiend, he comes in and he destroys people. That's it. That's all he does.
Who wins?
Bray Wyatt in a squash.
Hope that's not true. A match that's going pretty unrecognized is the Raw Women's Championship match, Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Love Asuka. I think Vince has a really hard time with her. He hasn't quite figured out how to make her like the bad ass kicker that she could be, that she was in NXT. I think she's shown a lot of personality here, but Rhea Ripley, it's her time. She should have beat Charlotte last year. She is a big, she has everything. She can work. She looks the part. So again, Rhea Ripley, get out there, beat Asuka. She should have a new streak. Go ahead, Ray. You want to interrupt me? Go ahead.
No, I want to make your point about the point that shit about Vince not knowing to do with Asuka. No, he ruined that chance in 2018 when she won the first Women's Royal Rumble. You know, her and Shinsuke won it that night. And it's like, okay, you know, nobody's ready for Asuka. And you have her lose to Charlotte at WrestleMania? Really? Yeah, exactly. If anything, if you were going to have her lose the streak eventually, once you have that build, whether it's a SummerSlam, even Survivor Series, and then you can say, I finally eat, sleep, conquer, repeat, whatever. You can make up something for Charlotte at that moment. But I'm like, that's when Asuka died. It was in 2018. that version of her, it died then. Yeah, she puts on great matches every week, and you know, she had that little thing going with Kairi Sane, who's no longer with the company. But that's when it happened. Like, they ruined her character. But I mean, I'm with you. It's a Riddler time. She's awesome. You know, the Nightmare is a great character. And yeah, I think they would have put her over last year had they had fans in the stands at that moment. I just think they went the safe route and kept the belt on Charlotte, but now they can't. And I think that, you know, as Asuka gets a little older, I think that this is, you know, even though she can still really work,
she can go.
Yeah, she could definitely go, but why not put the belt on Rhea Ripley and see what she can do? So I'm excited to see what that match does. And yeah, it won't disappoint. It won't disappoint.
Craig?
Oh, that's a motorcycle going by me. Okay. I can tell you, a funny story about me is I can tell you the future. I can see 2 days into the future. And this match, to me, is where Asuka's reign ended. I don't think she lost it since after Money in the Bank, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
Sasha was Raw Women's Champion for like a hot week or whatever. Yeah. Remember when she was with Bayley, but she didn't really lose it.
Right. But since she was basically gifted the belt from Becky Lynch, she didn't lose it or anything, right? So I think that I do think Charlotte was originally booked to beat Asuka again at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and,
I love that.
And, oh, I hate that so bad. And, you know, Rhea Ripley was, you know, coming up to the main roster anyway, so just put her in that spot. That's fine. She's phenomenal. She's great. I'm not a huge fan of her, but I know she's a great worker, so I'm not going to take any slack from her. She's probably going to beat Asuka, and it's going to be a great match and everything. Then Raw will come on. It'll be one of the top-of-the-hour segments, and it'll be her coming out, doing her thing about this is my brutality and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, I see it now. I see it into the future. I can tell you that this upcoming Monday, Becky Lynch will be coming back this upcoming Monday and facing Rhea Ripley.
Or it's Ronda.
Or it could be Ronda, which I would love. I don't think it's going to be Ronda, but I love that. It's just, when I try and think of these things, I just think of the most logical conclusion. And to me, that's just Becky coming back to take back what you never lost.
Love that. Can't hate that.
Nope.
One thing I'd point into that story, and I don't mean to diminish your pick, is she handed Asuka the belt, so wouldn't it make more sense for her to come out the night after WrestleMania after Asuka retains?
Either way, whoever wins that is going to face off against Becky Lynch.
The last match of the card, Night 2, WrestleMania 37, the Universal Championship, the big dog, the head of the table.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns versus the Rated R Superstar Edge and the ultimate underdog and the leader of the Yes Movement, Daniel Bryan, who's been injected into this match.
Or
this. All right, so let's just talk about it. The reason that he was put in this match is because people backstage think that Edge looks a little old, and he's looking older week by week. And live crowd's not going to boo Roman Reigns over Edge. Like, Edge is really – I love Edge. He's really good. But if it's Roman versus Edge, they're going to cheer Roman, which would really throw everything off. Nobody's going to boo Daniel Bryan. You just can't do it unless he makes you, and he's not going to make you in this match.
That's not true.
I'm here to tell you, if Roman loses, it's the wrong thing. He should not lose for a very long time. If he's going to lose next, honestly, with the championship on the line, it should be the Big E next year. That should be the next time that he loses this belt. I do think they might do something stupid and have Edge brutally beat up Daniel Bryan and pin him for the win. So I think Roman Reigns should win. I think Edge is going to win. Ray, go ahead.
So Daniel Bryan got booed out the building at WrestleMania 35. I was there.
Yeah, he was. Like,
yeah,
but
that was by design, though.
Yeah, but you're saying that no one would boo him like that crowd was white hot for Kofi Kingston. It was like if Daniel Bryan retained that night, I'm not sure he would have made it out of MetLife Stadium. I know because it took me 2 hours to get the it was insane. Like fans would have been waiting by the car. Like, no, you were not leaving as the planet champion. You and Rowan are not leaving this city at that time. So I'm telling that is a fact. That is not a prediction. That is a spoiler, right? No, but no, I mean, this is going to be an awesome match. I agree. Roman has been on the best run of his career as well. And, you know, yeah, we might need to see CM Punk's have a title reign, 434 days. Let him rock. He came back at SummerSlam. You know, he's like, you're not a monster without me. And it was like, oh, okay, this is different. And then, you know, the pairing with him and Paul Heyman
is perfect.
Gold.
I didn't think he needed Paul Heyman.
He did.
Yeah. He was a good enough talker about him.
No, but it's like ever since, I mean, he had, I mean, I know a couple of years ago at what pay-per-view was that? I don't know if they still do it. The No Mercy with him and John Cena. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when I
thought
that's when he started to turn the curve a little bit as far as his promos. Like, he started to get better, mainly because Cena embarrassed his ass on national TV.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you know, if you want to learn how to do it, if you want to learn how to be a big dog, you know, you got to learn how to talk. Shut your mouth, John. So, like, he literally turned the curve that night. But no, Heyman is the perfect mouthpiece, really, for any character. But
yeah,
the pairing with him and Reigns is awesome, and I'm like, I just wonder what's gonna happen when Brock comes back. You know, does he do like how he did at WrestleMania 29? He came out with CM Punk and
I think you gotta keep those two away from each other. You have to. So
yeah, I agree. But I'm just like, I just wonder what happens.
They have the ability to, because right now they're doing everything from the Thunderdome, right? So in reality, Brock could show up on Raw. Keep Roman on SmackDown. Paul's going to be there anyway. They're not traveling. So, but you're right. Gun to head, Ray. Who wins this match?
The rated R superstar. Edge. You can say all you want about him looking like he's out of it. Edge is still a top tier performer when he's on. We saw it last year. We saw it. I mean, from he had the match at WrestleMania 36. I don't care what anyone else says. That backstage match with him and Randy Orton was phenomenal. And then the follow-up matchup at Backlash, you know, billed as the greatest wrestling match ever, lived up to the hype. Now, granted, you can't always have, you know, that's subjective, right?
It was a great match.
But it was a phenomenal match. So I don't know who's saying that. I don't know what idiot backstage thinks that Edge just cannot go and be healthy.
No, that's not what I said. I said people backstage think that he's looking older by the week.
Okay. I mean, so
is that idiot. That idiot happens to be allegedly the chairman and the CEO of the company.
Okay, then you don't put him in the match. You don't put him over in the Rumble then. So you're losing your touch, Ben Joel. You've been losing your touch. That's 6, you know, hour in, you just got me upset. But no, man, but listen, I would not be upset if Edge won. I won't be upset if Daniel Bryan wins either, right? Because, I mean, you know, that WrestleMania 30 moment was special. It was special, the build-up to that, awesome. Like, you know, Daniel Bryan was great. I mean, he's a great in-ring performer, greatest champion. So, and he hasn't had a run as a champion. So maybe this is his time. So maybe Daniel Bryan finds a way to win, but I think Edge gets it done this time around.
It's odd that there's a triple threat with three very different performers, and nobody's going to be really upset if either wins. Right? Because right. I mean, you could make the argument that says they all deserve it. Craig, tell me, last match of the night, who wins and why?
I think that this is one of those matches, you know I've pooed on most of the card, but this is one of those matches where I feel pretty good. And the way I would book this match, if I was, you know, in Gorilla or something like that, and, you know, I just let these three guys go out there, you know, do it however they do, a 20-minute match, and I have, you know, Daniel Bryan somehow do something that costs Edge something, and, you know, Roman Reigns end up winning somehow and just weaseling out, and then starts a feud with somebody else the following week on SmackDown. And you just, you know, if this is, you know, a lot of people are saying this could be the end for Daniel Bryan. If that's the end, you know, super. But, you know, Ed versus Daniel Bryan would not be a bad feud.
Can we all just agree that Roman can't eat the pin?
No, you protect him. He's your top guy. You protect him like nobody's business.
Yeah, like what pay was that? Elimination Chamber? No. What match when he faced Kevin Owens? What pay-per-view was that? Was that
it was a couple.
Oh, yeah. A few of them. But he also tapped to Daniel Bryan at Fastlane.
Right,
but it didn't count.
Right. Yeah, so. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh man, I'm like I said, once again, I'm here for it. You know, there you go, put it out there. I'm here for the Roman Empire, baby. I'm here for it. So I was like, keep it going. I do think down the line, eventually, again, since they're both on SmackDown, I would love to see him and Seth go at it again at some point. Obviously, the story has to be right again, but I could totally see Steph saying like, oh, so you're the head of the table. Well, I'm Seth freaking Rollins. I'm the freaking architect. Without me, you're not here.
Yeah, that requires Seth being the face, though, right? That'd be tougher.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah, which is fine. I like face of Rollins. It was cool to see that at WrestleMania 30.
He's such a good bad guy.
He's one of the few guys where it's like it doesn't matter how what he's playing, he plays it well. Like sure. Shawn Michaels. They met whether he was the heel, you know. Oh, Montreal, yo. Listen, rest of the fans, go back and watch that promo. Excuse me. in Montreal right before SummerSlam 05. Please.
That's one of the greatest.
One of the greatest of all time. Like, just the facial reactions, the crowd, the crowd's going there. It's just like, and it's like, oh man, Hitman's music, Hitman, Bret Hitman Hart music drops. It's just like, oh.
Whole place went nuts.
Great. It was awesome. It was great.
So that concludes our prediction show and rundown of the card. Now get to the good stuff. Now, because this is WrestleMania, it's a two-night event, so we're going to go a little bit longer than you would normally expect for a podcast. So now what we're going to do is we're going to just talk about some of what we think are the best WrestleMania matches of all time. And I think it's hard to start this list, and I'm going to say it right now. I am the biggest Shawn Michaels fan that there is. He, to me, is the greatest wrestler all around because of his ability to sell, his ability on the mic. He had charisma, he had everything. It's hard for me to say that Taker Shawn 25 isn't the best. I've gone back and watched that match so many times. And when Taker jumped, you know, did his running leap over the top rope, I thought he broke his neck. And then from there on in, it was on. Like, they just turned it on. I love that match. Ray, you and I have talked about that match too. Like, when you go back and you watch that, like, what do you think? Because those two are in their mid-40s during that.
Yeah, I mean, the storytelling during that four-year period, so really from 07 to 2010, really was just remarkable. And obviously, you know, they both been in the company forever at that time. Obviously, you know, we think about Bad Blood 97, which is, you know, we talked about on a previous show, Cheap Heat. You know, they've had great matches before, but I mean, man, this match here, you know, like I said, it was basically about a two-year buildup at the time. And, you know, 25th anniversary is in Houston. You know, they're main eventing, you know, that WrestleMania. And
well, it should have been.
No, it was the main event because it came after. Oh, was it Cena? It was Cena.
And Triple H followed it.
Don't even remember it, honestly. Don't even remember it. And I forgot because he was a world. Yeah. Or in one of the Royal Rumble that year. Sorry, I forgot. My bad. But yeah, you don't even remember that match, honestly. Like, Triple H has had some great matches at WrestleMania.
That wasn't one of them.
That wasn't one of them, right? Exactly. Either way, that Taker and Michaels was the main event. So I stand firm on that sentiment. But yeah, it's hard to top. I mean, the one they had the next year, you got some that think that one was even better. And the only reason why I could say that could be number one was because of what we knew was going to happen if. You know, if Shawn lost, and I mean, just the series of kickouts.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
Oh, 25 had, they had JR on the microphone. They brought him back for this match. Mm-hmm. And first of all, the entrance, Shawn comes down from the sky.
Right.
Taker comes up. The promo, Taker saying, sometimes it's hell. You got to go through hell to get to heaven. Like, they played on everything. And then when Shawn does the moonsault or he tries to do the nip up and Taker counters it into a tombstone, one, two, he kicks out. And for the first time ever, Taker sold it. Like his eyes, and you hear JR say, I'm having an out-of-body experience. Like, what did I just see? You can't really articulate what it feels like to watch that match. For the first time, right?
I think what was, and I know you went to Ray, but I'm sorry. I said, what was interesting to me about this match is the way it was built. It was just another, I can beat the Undertaker streak of WrestleMania kind of feud to begin with. It, you know, didn't get to the what it was more meaningful next year, but it was built really, it was built just as another.
They built it that Shawn Michaels had never lost the Undertaker on a pay-per-view. And it was true.
All right.
Never had.
Yeah, but at its core was still the other, I could beat the Undertaker's undefeated streak. And, you know, and that's what that was. And there have been good Undertaker matches at WrestleMania as well, obviously. And, you know, this is just happened to be the in-ring part of it was just, you know, potentially, if not the best, the easily top five greatest matches of all time.
Yeah. Of all time. I mean, that false finish. There's that's the first time that he's ever crossed his arms, the opponent's arms, and they kick out. And the look that Taker gives, thinking, like, what do I need to do to beat this guy? Right. I mean, it was perfect. Number two, or these are in no order, okay? I will say that what we just talked about for me is the number one match. Again, Savage Steamboat, WrestleMania 3. Yeah. If you have access to YouTube, to the WWE Network on Peacock, not a sponsor, sorry, Craig, you need to go back and you need to watch this match because it is perfection, and it's not by accident. you know, Macho Man Randy Savage is one of the greatest performers in the history of the professional wrestling. One of the best promos, definitely one of the most unique promos, and one of the best in ring because he could do it all. He was, you believe that he could beat anybody up because he was big and strong, but he could also fly over the top rope, do the elbow drop. And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is, I think we all regard him as one of the best workers, mm-hmm. top 10, top 25 workers in the history of the business. And the fact that Randy wrote down every single move on a piece of paper and a notepad and gave it to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and said, this is what we're going to do. And they did it. And WrestleMania 3, 93,000, I think 179 or 173 people in the Pontiac Silverdome broke the indoor attendance record. We all remember Hogan and Andre, but we've all talked about this. There are matches that talk you into the building. And then there are matches when you talk about when you leave the building. This match, and Rayshon, you just watched it recently. This is one of those matches.
Yeah, it was the first time that I seen that whole pay-per-view. Like, I've seen different matches at different times. But when I saw that Steamboat Savage match, I was like, man, like, this is incredible. And, like, you know, I'm glued. And obviously, it happened 34 years ago. But to be glued, yeah. glued to the television like it would, like it just happened, you know, last night, shows that, you know, just certain matches that always will stand the test of time. And once again, you know, we talked about this off the air. It was for the IC title. The Intercontinental title used to really mean something, not just something where it was a guy that was a placeholder. When that title was on the line, it meant that either you were about to be the man, or there was sometimes he was even bigger than the guy that was the world champion. Poison Kate, the point of case was, you know, WrestleMania 10 as well. With Scott Hall and, Razor Ramon against Shawn Michaels for the ladder match, you know, well, the first ladder match on the pay-per-view. You know, he wins the IC title to unify it. And I'm like, that you remember that more than Bret Hart winning that against Owen Hart. Like, you just remember that. So we got to give back to that, the IC title meaning something and really people getting invested in that and in that title. But yeah, but like far as Steamboat and Savage go, man, like, it was phenomenal to see that match. I definitely would have been a fan of Steamboat had I been alive.
Yeah.
At that time. I mean, he was awesome. And definitely got to watch the match with him and Jericho, too. I think we did that at 24 or 25.
25.
It's at 25, yeah. So got to watch that, too, if you're a fan. You know, he's much older by then, but still had it.
Old school is cool. It was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and Roddy Piper versus Chris Jericho with Mickey Rourke in attendance.
Yeah.
That's when it came out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned it. We don't have to talk about it too much. Ladder match, WrestleMania 10. Intercontinental Championship. Shawn Michaels had been suspended as an Intercontinental Champion for testing positive for steroids. He swears he didn't take them. He's been pretty honest about his drug use and all the things that he's done wrong. Vince calls him and says, hey, we need the belt. Shawn says, I have the belt. It's here with me. Why don't you come and get it? So they make Razor the champion. Then Shawn comes back with the belt. They unify it. And that match went way longer than it was supposed to. Took up a lot of time on the card, but it was worth it. I mean, that splash off the top of the ladder, they play that on highlight film from now.
Well, I'll further that point about WrestleMania 10. Like, it's not, even though that was a great match, like, that's not in my top five, though.
No.
You know, I told you before the show, you know, the next match after that Steamboat and Savage match really is Rock Hogan. And I know... believe that, you know, if you turned off the TV, that the match was horrible.
No, the volume. Not the TV.
Oh, the volume, whatever. That's call it what you want. That match, I'm sorry. Like, I to this day, I watch that match about four or five times a year. Like, it's to see Hogan come down and, you know, the NWO music hits and he's playing the guitar coming down there. And then you hear, you know, you're hearing 75,000-80,000 yelling, Rocky, and then, you know, Hogan. I mean, it was just crazy, man. And I'm not sure there's been a more live crowd that I've heard than that night. And that was watching it on pay-per-view. So I can only imagine being there. Like, I was in the Superdome. I was in the Superdome for 34. This is not as big of a moment, but when Daniel Bryan's music hit, when he was coming out with Shane McMahon in his return match, that crowd went nuts. But I'm like, I still don't think that was anything like what happened when, you know, when Rock and Hogan was there. And like I said, once again, it was also a hell of a match. wasn't just something where it's like, oh.
I mean, Hogan.
You know, it was a moment. No, it was a hell of a match. And like I said, on top of that, it was two of the, it was Icon versus Icon, and it lived up to the hype. The Hogan second one was garbage, but the first one was good.
Yeah, Hogan did the right thing, right? He put The Rock over, but he made sure that he did it while coming in a heel and leaving a baby face. So that's not, let's not let that go unnoticed. Also, I say that match, in my opinion, is one of the greatest WrestleMania moments, right? After the music has faded away, they're standing in the ring and they both start looking at the crowd, and the crowd is just eating it up. Everything Hogan did, they cheered. He hit Rock with his belt. They cheered. Instantly, the Rock was turned. The crowd turned. And when I remember vividly when the Rock had Hogan down, like on his knee, and he hit him with one of his punches, and Hogan started hulking up. Which, by the way, he never did as Hollywood Hogan, because that's not a heel thing to do. Right. But he read the room, and the whole place went nuts. I think. It's a great match, but it's a great match because of the interaction with the crowd. Less to do with what happened in the
athletic. Yeah, but that matters though.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, that's another reason why. I mean, granted, the in-ring thing we talked about with WrestleMania 26 with Shawn and Taker, like the crowd helps to make the match, which is why you know, we're missing that element. Obviously, you know, it goes without being said, but yeah, I mean, like I said, I watched that match so much. Like I never get tired of it. I know how it ends. I know, you know, I know how the finish goes. Like, it's just all that, but it was great.
Another match that should have been the main event that wasn't.
Listen, to me, it was the main event, so I could care less about Jericho and Hunter. Rock and Hogan, WrestleMania 18, is honestly, and I'm not ashamed to say that, might be, like I said, that might be my favorite match of all time. Like, I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, that's how much I love that match. Yeah, it was awesome, and I crave to be in a crowd like that. So who knows, one day with this show, who knows, we might meet, you know, to the masses, and this will be, you know, we're already getting, you know, getting pretty big as is, but man, it would be dope to be involved in a crowd like that for WrestleMania week. That would be awesome. Watch out, Sam Roberts, we're coming for you.
I imagine it's a lot like WrestleMania 30, that triple threat match with Bryan.
Oh my God.
Crowd when Daniel Bryan was taken out on the stretcher and came back, they exploded when he won. I think just for time purposes, a little controversial take here, because it wouldn't be cheap heat unless we did something controversial. It could be argued that the greatest triple threat match in WWE history took place at WrestleMania 20, and if you try to search for it on any network, it will come up as Shawn Michaels versus Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship. But neither of those two won. Chris Benoit, winner of the 2004 Royal Rumble, goes on.
2 minutes, yep.
Has a phenomenal program in which, well, actually was entering into a program where Shawn and Hunter had just had a last man standing match at the Rumble, and it ended when neither of them could get up after the count of 10. Shawn said he had some unfinished business, super kicked Benoit, put himself in the contract, brings us to Madison Square Garden in 2004. And Benoit had been a guy, you know, a lot like Eddie Guerrero, that everyone thought should finally be a champion. Because technically in the ring, aside from Kurt Angle, you know, just pure technical wrestling, there's no one that was better ever in that ring. And that match was unbelievable. From all the false finishes to Triple H, what I thought was pedigreeing Chris Benoit, and that gets turned into a crossface, or the sharpshooter on Triple H in the middle of the ring, then Shawn super kicks him out of nowhere. It's one of the best matches in my opinion, and one of the greatest crowd reactions, because that was in what many people refer to as the Reign of Terror, where Triple H was not losing to a lot of people that he was not friends with. So tapping out to Benoit in the middle of the ring at Madison Square Garden at the 20th anniversary of WrestleMania, nothing bigger than that.
Go ahead, Greg.
What makes that so sad and unfortunate too is the celebration that happened right after it, because that's the night it
got
the WWE title as well, or the heavyweight title, whatever it was. It's just, that's just, you know, looking back on it, you know, what is it, 13 years later, 17 years later, holy shit.
Right. It's crazy.
It's just sad, and you know, obviously Eddie Guerrero went out the way he went out, and the way Chris Benoit went out, it's just sad, bro.
Yeah.
Right. No, I'm saying no for sure. As Craig literally we had like the same thought. Like it was awesome to see them celebrate that after the match. And I mean, hell, talk about that match too. Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle was great too. You know, he lied and cheated still to retain the title. It's with the boo, right? But it's speaking of that same year, it sucks that I wish the No Way Out match was the WrestleMania.
Yeah,
match.
Yeah. It should have been
that No Way Out match. I mean, to this day, that's my favorite non WrestleMania match.
Like, yeah, because conversely,
come on, Eddie. You know, and I'm not the biggest fan of Michael Cole. Just like he made that call, the Miracle on Bourbon Street, with Daniel Bryan. He made that moment that much better with the come on, Eddie. You know, tonight Eddie Guerrero has a different high. Like that was a great call. Excuse me. I think so. That's one thing I miss about that. But yeah.
I think we could go on for hours about this. I think there are some honorable mentions. There's Taker, Triple H, WrestleMania 28, the Hell in a Cell match. That was
both years, 27 and 28.
28, though, that brutality. I mean, 27 was a great story to tell that Taker barely won. He didn't even walk out, but that Hell in a Cell match with Shawn as the referee to end the end of the era, awesome.
This is my favorite WrestleMania match of all time because it's just – whole entire feud was just phenomenal. I remember this started back in 2012. The Undertaker came back. We all thought it was going to be Sting, and he came back, and then Triple H came out because he wanted to finish what Shawn couldn't. And this is the point where the Undertaker was kind of banged up, and this is a point where people will stop for like the millionth time. All right, well, that's the end. That's the last we'll ever see of him, and we thought it was. And then Undertaker comes back in the next year, and every single person out there in that ring, all right, 2 years in a row, Triple H versus The Undertaker, WrestleMania. Then Triple H walks away because he doesn't want to destroy him.
Yep.
And then that all leads to the match at WrestleMania, which is the storyline in that, and I'm going to include Shawn Michaels in that, four-year
feud. Oh, yeah.
That between those three guys involved in one storyline, to me that was the best in the history.
You can't not include Shawn in that because if you remember, he was a really big part in the first match in 2011 in Atlanta where he said, where Taker said to, why do you think you can beat me when Shawn couldn't?
Right.
And then the next year, when it's revealed that Taker had shaved his head, that's the first time we saw it in the Hell in a Cell, right? They'd faked hair for a while. And the story was that he'd been pulling his hair out for the year since he lost that match or since he barely won that match. That super kick into a pedigree for a two count was.
I thought it was over.
Me too. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, like it's going to happen. I'm like, I can't believe it's going to end like this. And I'm like, you had a 1-2, and it just at like, 2 9/10. It was like, I was like, oh my God. I was like, wow. I was like, he kicked out.
And it's nuanced because Shawn was the guy that kicked him, but he didn't fast count it.
No.
He counted it for real.
Although he did fast count a couple of times in that match.
Yeah. But then, like, you remember after he kicked him and he kicks out, like, they just show Shawn in the corner with his hand.
That's what adds to the story. But that's what adds to the story. And that's where, some of you new age wrestlers now go back and watch some of the stuff where it's the psychology, it's the nuance. Like he gives him the kick, and it, like I said, Craig just said it a couple of times in that match, you fast counted. But in that moment, because they knew it was a special moment, it's going to be 1-2-2, and then you have everybody on the edge of their seat. So that's where just knowing where basically, like we talked about, how to read the room. That's what Shawn Michaels, that's what those three guys knew how to do better than most. And I say, Craig, you were right to say it. That four-year run really is the best run, really probably in all of wrestling, honestly. No, none of the matches disappointed. It was great each time. It was great. It was great. And, I'm forever thankful that I was able to see those matches. It's too bad we couldn't see it live, like in person. But, man, it was awesome to see, and that we can always go back and watch it, on the WWE Network or now this Peacock. So, yeah, it's great, man. But, there's so many other matches I could think of, too, from WrestleMania. I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, I know we couldn't make it all Shawn Michaels, but, I mean, why not? He is Mr. WrestleMania.
Angle.
Kurt Angle as well. Him and Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21. That's the next one. Jericho at 19. I mean, it was crazy. Him and Austin at 14.
With a broken back.
Speaking of psychology, right? Mike Tyson, who he understood the psychology of boxing, but not necessarily with wrestling. So he does a double cross, but he only counts, you know, he counts one, two, three. And it's just like, no, Mike, like you got a little bit of a slower count. And I know his adrenaline probably was rushing at that moment too, because I know Boston was on fire at that
moment.
But it's like just a little bit of a slower count. The one, two.
It's
just like, ah.
I actually think he was told to do that because that gives Sean an out. You know what I mean? Like, if
Putin knew he was out of there anyways. He was gone. Like I said, you know, remember, you said you were there. You talked about it on a previous show. You know, lost my smile.
I was not there.
I
was in Lowell when he lost his smile in 97.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay, got you. Okay. So, yeah, so it was on – excuse me. He was on his way, like I said, on a bad back. You know,
broken back.
Broken back. He has a missing, you know, the next 4 years. He comes back in, like, you know, commissioner role and some other stuff. But, you know, it wasn't any in-ring stuff. So, yeah, man. I mean, like I said, there's so many other.
WrestleMania 12, the Iron Man match.
Yes, exactly. You know, what Shawn Michaels talks about in his Hall of Fame speech, like, you know, think about no one wanted to see it at the time. But they made sure that they made it a go. But I think about. I can't believe we didn't even bring this up. Table, ladders, and chairs, too, at WrestleMania 17. I mean, the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardy Boys.
What do you think?
That's the best tag team match of all time.
It's not even close. Is that more of a match, like a best match, or is that moment when Edge spears Hardy from the belt?
No, that was a hell of a match. The Edge moment you always remember, but that was also a hell of a match. Like, even their triangle ladder match the year before was really good when Edge and Christian won the title for the first time, but TLC 2 took it up another level. But they've been doing that for the last year and a half, so they've really built up that story, you know, up to WrestleMania 17. But yeah, that TLC 2, I mean, man,
Lita's chair shot to Spike Dudley was unbelievable.
Beautiful. Thing of beauty.
I think, yeah, I mean, there are just so many, there are great matches. And I think, you know, for all those Jagged Wrestling fans out there that say that it's not as good as it used to be, if you think about all the matches that we've been able to see over the last, let's just say 17 years since WrestleMania 20, I mean, you have a ton of matches. I mean, also Rock Austin, pick your poison. Is it 15? Is it 17? Is it 19? 17 was great because of the turn.
I was so pissed.
But 19 was also great because you had Hollywood Rock coming in and you had Jerry the King Lawler on commentary every 10 seconds saying WrestleMania the movie, so much so that Jim Ross had to tell him to shut up about WrestleMania the movie. Like, it was, I think it was everything. I think there were so many matches. Now, again, we're coming to the end of this. Best WrestleMania moments. The Austin era begins, WrestleMania 14. Now, again, my guy was Shawn Michaels. I actually was able to not go to school the next day because I was so distraught that Shawn lost and I knew that he was gone. I mean, the internet was in its infancy back then, but my dad would always let me like read the dirt sheets and everyone knew that he had a bad back. The Austin era beginning, JR is screaming Stone Cold. Mike Tyson lit. I mean, if that was a work punch, then it's the best work punch that a non-wrestler's ever thrown to Sean, because it looked like it hit him. And great story. Hogan slams Andre. WrestleMania. Is there a more iconic moment in WrestleMania history than Hulk Hogan's body slamming Andre the Giant?
The one moment I could think of that, well, it wouldn't have topped it, but it would have been up there. If Brock connected that shooting star press at WrestleMania 19 against Kurt Angle, that might have been up there, honestly. Because to see a guy that big, that athletic, that strong, pull off that move or almost pull off that move was crazy. Like, I was like, man, this is incredible.
What about Seth Rollins cashing in the Money in the Bank at WrestleMania 31?
It was a great moment because it had people like me pissed off. and like I said, JBL said it best. This is the highest of the century. And that's the – you'll never forget that moment. Also, nope. I mean, seeing Sting at WrestleMania, seeing the NWO versus DX, you know, we finally get the Monday Night Wars coming to life. Right, yeah, right. Right.
Which, by the way, as far as storylines goes, why the hell would Sting team with the NWO?
Because it was a WCW thing.
Yeah, well, but it's,
yeah, but NWO was anti WCW.
Yeah, I'm going back. I'm going back to WCW 1997 though, so never mind about that.
Yeah, no, that's true. And we know the vigilante sits up top with the bat, and he's looking down, and yeah. So I mean that was great. I mean, but I mean it was awesome to see Sting in a
he should have won
ring. Yes, he should have.
Oh, there was no way Vince was going to let a WCW guy win that guy.
Forget about Vince.
15 years later.
Hunter wasn't going to do that, you know?
No way.
Hunter wasn't going to put him over. Not at that moment. Maybe if they had a part two, he might have put him over, but he wasn't going to put him at WrestleMania. Right. No way. That wasn't happening. But the next year, WrestleMania 32, we talk about moments. The triple threat between Sasha, Charlotte, and...
Donna.
Oh, God. Who was the third person?
Becky.
Becky.
When Sasha comes out with Snoop Dogg singing her down there and her Eddie Guerrero gear. I mean,
phenomenal. So that's what I'm saying. It was not the same. Well, we've had matches at least from 2014 to now. We've had some great moments. The Sting and Triple H, the Ladies Triple Threat, but you know, that was the first women's championship match or new women's championship match. The Hardy Boys coming back in 2017. Listen, when I tell you, That Camping World Stadium was shaking when that was my first WrestleMania in person. That building was shaking. People thought the New Day was going to be the next team, and they're like, who? And you hear that was like, my eyes could have came out of my head. They would have like, I got to send y'all the video of that because my phone is shaking. Everyone was like hugging each other like we had just won the championship. Like it was insane. It was awesome. And you know, this is not really a moment where everything is coming to my mind right now, but even John Cena coming back a couple of years ago at 35 for his Thuganomics gimmick, it was like, you heard "We're Alive." It was like, he's back? Okay.
two more things in 35. I think Kofi winning.
Phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Like I cried. I'm not gonna lie. I cried. I cried, and I know it's real to me. Damn it! And you know when he hit that SOS, and it's like you know the 1, 2, 3, and then it's like because I would have been either Xavier Woods or Big E. Like I would have jumped in the ring immediately. Like I know it was his moment, but I'm like it was much bigger than Kofi at that moment, and it was just like once again people was hugging me in the stands like I was Kofi himself. Like it was like oh my God, I can't believe he won, and it was like we won. I'm like okay, yeah, we won, great. Like get off me, but
get off.
Yeah, you know. But I was oh man, yeah, that's another moment. I'm like I'll never forget that either. So
also, go ahead, Craig.
I think we're forgetting one. To me, it's my as far as moments goes, maybe not matches, but moments. Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're right. That's so true.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I love you. And then just super. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I love you. Let's take a walk behind the shed.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. I didn't know that was going to be Rick's last match until, like, it didn't dawn on me until you see him, like, in tears and he's saying, come on, he knows it's over, knocks his teeth down his throat, 1, 2, 3. And I was just like, man, like, and you know, I mean, Shawn, you know, yeah, it was a great moment. And that's funny, I forgot about that, but that's another match I also watched a few times a year, too, because I'm just like, man, it was so, like I said, the story was great. The story was great. It was awesome.
I think just to wrap it all up, we've been, you know, as wrestling fans, we're privileged. I mean, Mania, there are bad Manias, but there's never been a Mania within like the last 20 years that there's not been one amazing match on the card, right? So be on the lookout for that this weekend. I also want to say a moment that happened too late. I don't think that the match lived up to the moment, but it was the triple threat match between Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda. They main evented at WrestleMania. It was about time. If there were ever three women to do it, it should have been them. The match, by that time, the crowd was too tired. I mean, I think at the end...
I was exhausted.
Yeah, you're too tired.
And it
may have been a botched ending with the way that Ronda put Becky through the finish and it was a roll-up, but you want to see... You know, I do love that recently that women have been elevated to the same stature as men. I love the fact that now we have... Bobby Lashley as Universal or WWE champion. We had Kofi Kingston as Universal or WWE champion. Like they're doing the right thing. Everybody, go out there and enjoy WrestleMania this weekend because there are fans in the building. It's going to be not a packed stadium, but there are going to be 25,000 fans in that stadium two nights in a row. So go out there and enjoy it. For Rayshon Buchanan, Craig D'Alessandro, I am Michael Marcangelo saying thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cheap Heat, brought to you by Missing the Point.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric acid.